Now, the king says here in verse 5, the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Now, that's rather extreme judgment, I would say, but you can see what the king is getting at, and very frankly, a faulty translation of this verse has given the impression that the king had forgotten his dream. The fact of the matter is, he hadn't forgotten his dream. The opposite is true. He knows the dream, he feels its importance, and he refuses to divulge it to the wise men. Why? He wants to get a good interpretation of it. And when he says here, the word is gone from me, that is the American Standard Version of it, of 19:1. It's a good translation. Now, that suggests, you see, something else. In other words, he's saying to these men, I haven't changed my mind. And this judgment I'm pronouncing, don't beg me to tell you the dream. I'm not going to tell you the dream. You're coming up with it if I listen to your answer. Now, the Berkeley Version has this, I think, rather helpful translation at this point. The king answered the Chaldeans, this word I speak, I mean it. If you do not tell me the dream and what it means, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses will be destroyed. That's really toning it down, I'll say that. But nevertheless, the penalty is still excessive and extreme. In other words, he's putting a fear of the Lord in these men. They've got to come up now with the interpretation of the dream, but first of all, they have to give what the dream is. Now, in verse 6, he says, but if ye show the dream and interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Conversely, he could be generous and charitable. This man was greatly governed by his emotions, as we're going to see. He said, I'm going to amply reward you if you give me the correct interpretation. Now, they answered and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. Now, the wise men, they realized their dangerous predicament, and they again cautiously suggest to the king that he supply the dream, and they'll supply the interpretation. And I guarantee you they'll come up with an interpretation, but they can't come up with the dream. Verse 8, the king answered and said, I know of a certainty that ye would gain the time because ye see the things gone from me. You see, I mean business. Now you're stalling. You want a little bit more time. And again, the Berkeley Version clarifies this verse. The king replied, I see plainly that you're trying to gain time because you see how capital punishment awaits you. That's taking a little liberty, but that actually is the meaning, friends. Now, verse 9, but if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. Now, you see, the king really reveals his lack of confidence in the wise men of Babylon. I think they'd failed him probably on previous assignments, just as the prophets of Baal failed old Ahab. But since he was killed in the battle, he couldn't retaliate. But Nebuchadnezzar feels that these men have been feeding him a great deal of malarkey, by the way. And he's now putting them to a real test. And so Nebuchadnezzar's reasoning at this point, I think, seems very logical. If they can give him his dream, then it's reasonable to conclude that their interpretation is genuine. And if not, any interpretation would be under suspicion, of course, even the right one.